You're listening to Senior Moves.
Welcome, everyone, to this Thursday's release of the podcast, where we're talking about ways to manage the impacts of distance in your parent project. And specifically this week here at Senior Moves, we've been focused on empowering advocates with a series of value-added topics that help you manage distance between family members when that comes into your parent program. Today, I'm joined by John Scott Williams. He's a certified senior living services professional. He's the executive director of Christian Care at their Fellowship Square Mesa, Arizona campus. He's a dear friend, and I would tell you he's not just leading edge, but bleeding edge in technology into the senior living environment. He's really found a passion as a champion for the use in technology that creates the most empowering, safe, and the connected campuses that I've ever seen.
You're listening to Parent Projects, a Senior Moves podcast production. Now here's your host, Tony Siebers.
John Scott, welcome.
Well, thanks for asking. I appreciate you. And your reputation comes before you.
You really get into this technology stuff. We're going to be introducing, like we normally do, some articles that have come from our Parent Projects magazine. You can find that hosted over at our Flipboards on off of seniormoves.org. You also find it down below in the show notes. In particular, pay attention. There's an article out there on 5 tips for helping an aged loved one use technology that was done by Jessica Fairbanks, who started and runs Home Care Assistance. So take a peek at that. And outside of those, John Scott, give me level set. I mean, you're here in the senior living community. You've seen it. What is the direction of technology as you see it in the senior living environment that families need to think about?
Right now, there isn't any senior living executive that isn't trying to figure out how to catch up to the leading edge of the boomers who are coming in. This group of people are pretty similar to the silent generation, except they're 100% technology minded. 5 years ago on this campus, and I have 333 units, I had maybe 6 people under 75 on the property, and virtually all 6 were there because of a medical trigger. There was something that required them, had heart problems, walking problems. They were younger. Now I have 45. Through COVID, we have 45 people that are between 76 and 80. Wasn't there before. And now, and of those, none of them would have moved into the campus without enterprise grade Wi-Fi. They understand streaming, they understand smartphones. Our entire phone system and our emergency locating system had to be converted, because everything in the past used telephone lines, and we would piggyback on the US West or CenturyLink telephone system, all of our equipment. Well, they don't come in with, they don't need landlines. They're coming in with smartphones. Right. And we're moving everything that we have so that that screen or any screen they use can use our resident portal.
So that's got to be a huge data pull. I mean, there are, and I imagine that's immediately going to separate if technology is something that means something to your family, that's immediately going to start separating places you're headed and places you're not. What would be a threshold, you think, maybe in today's day, and it's 2022, what do you think today you should be looking for and that the market really should be providing in a for speed?
Oh, enterprise grade Wi-Fi. And it doesn't really matter what the, it has to be encrypted. You have to be able to do your banking online. My residents are coming in doing their banking. It used to be they had to have the TV hooked up. When you get the TV, I want to watch my favorite channel. Now it's when you get the Wi-Fi hooked up. And they'll get the Wi-Fi hooked up. They'll both be eating their sandwich, both of them on separate screens. and they're doing their banking and their shopping online.
That looks like a teenage table the same.
Well, except the average age now is 75 plus. The average age in the community used to be 90. Since COVID, it's 87 and a half.
Yeah.
And the average age in move-in was 86. Now it's 84 and a half. But with a big cohort of the oldest boomers moving in, and they will move horizontal and they will move up, but you're not going to get a boomer to move into a community that doesn't have Wi-Fi enterprise grade. And that's more than a access point in the dining room.
You know? Right.
You're not a Starbucks here. This is enterprise grade, completely encrypted. And they want to know that it's safe. They don't have to understand it. They have to know that it's safe and they want to use their own screen.
Yeah. Okay. So access is a huge piece. It looks like there's a focus on. I do recall, even a couple of years ago, when we were doing shooting some video, I remember seeing an application into the medical side, technologies that could utilize predictive analysis of trips and falls, or things that could maybe help indicate when someone was going to need some additional assistance or proactive assistance with helping gait or something to that nature. Am I remembering correctly?
We're constantly working on fall detection, fall prevention. Fall detection. We have software that our residents, when they move in, with 12 steps, it measures 28 data points in their gait. And we can predict that if based on those 12 steps and the 3D camera that is used in that, and the process comes out of Peoria, Illinois, but we're able to determine if they'll have a fall in the next 30 days.
Wow, that is incredible.
You know if you're going to have a fall, you say, what do I do? Well, let's say it starts out red. We can develop, with their doctor's permission, an exact physical therapy that will strengthen what they're favoring. And many people go from red to green in a 6 week time. This is part of the wellness program. There's no additional cost. And that's the other part of the new group coming in. They're used to going to physical fitness places, and they're used to having instructors. They're used to the trainers. And we have all of that in our community. Plus, we're able to send the results of that test to their physical therapist, to their insurance company. And if we have a physical therapist do the test, it's reimbursed and it's Medicare will pay for that test. And we provide that, and we're open to anybody in the community as a public service. If you want to come out and have your gait tested, we will do that at no charge and send it to whoever you want to look at the results.
I love that. Oh, we'll have to put some information about that down in the show notes down below, and maybe even some side comments for it. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Top thing, blow your mind. What do you think? The John Scott Williams prediction in 2022, by the end of the year, what's that thing that you think is going to finally come to market that excites you most?
We have a robust Alexa program that we went to because many of my residents, passcodes, secret codes, getting onto a screen was very complicated. Mm-hmm. Over the last 3 years, we've developed an Alexa program that the equipment is the same thing that you buy in the store, but the software is completely different. Okay. And in this, we now have the ability to do drop-in as well as two-way telephone calls. So everybody can have an additional phone number and we're able to drop in. Now, during COVID, this is very important because I can drop in with your permission and view your condition without having to expose my staff to COVID. If you're quarantined, I don't have to go in every time we need to check on you.
So that's like a super smart intercom type system where traditionally you had that, but you've got some predictive analysis and some AI behind that can help develop when it might be time to make that connection by voice.
Exactly. And it's done with voice, and it has 9/11 capabilities. Yeah. So it's a regular telephone system. Well, that's just, it's all based on a enterprise grade Wi-Fi system, but I'm able to call both directions. By the end of this year, that'll be common. You could do one way on Alexas, and everybody had to have a Amazon account, a Amazon phone, and all this sort of things. None of my residents, they can't charge a penny on my Alexa programs. They can't buy anything on it, but they're able to communicate with it for any distance. And that, by the end of the year, it will be very well known. And Amazon, working with us and one other community, the Admiral in Chicago, we're their two beta sites, and we have worked with them closely. And they are going into communications in a big, big way nationwide.
That's fantastic. So that's going to bring us into the next major topic, which is, and we see that at Senior Moves. By the way, I think the answer that I was hoping for out of that is that the Senior Moves Connect is going to come out, and that's just going to blow everybody's mind as an app. But I love the Alexa side. In all seriousness, data privacy, right? AI, data privacy. At Senior Moves, we really work on that. That idea that long-term, we're developing solutions for people where their information is theirs. Ownership, meaning you have the right to destroy it very, very cleanly, much more like what they have in Europe. If you can't destroy it, you don't actually have ownership of it. You have access to it. And so setting up those data structures, I know, are an end state for a lot of us trying to figure this out. And it's what we're delivering on so that you own your data long-term. With you guys, so there's now, the more and more we get into this, the more we're going to start seeing information and data. HIPAA comes into play in people's minds right away. And I know that that applies in some situations of senior living and not in all situations of senior living. Maybe let's start there. What are the data privacy considerations? What are the laws people should be thinking about? And what should families and advocates be thinking about when they're looking at data privacy?
A lot of our lease agreements are made up that residents can protect their privacy. All sorts of reasons why seniors want to do that. There could be estranged family members, people that there may be some mental acuity that's affecting the senior, and family members may be trying to prey on that. We have had our system set up. I had a relative of my own that they could call anybody that they chose to, because that's their freedom. But every call that came in, we had to cross connect to the apartment, and we were able to protect the person's privacy that way. We have in our HIPAA agreements, we have directories, we take pictures, we make commercials, in addition to having them sign specific agreements. We also disclose that unless they say otherwise, we will put their name in directory. We will put their name on the front door. One of the things we do is we have a sign with a person's name, so when they walk by, it doesn't look institutional. This is Mary, Mary's apartment. And but if they don't want that, they tell us, and we don't put it up. But it's a way of knowing you're living in a community, and it's an easy way to remember their name whenever you're going through the door. So I'm pretty good at reading the door names, and we are, like, I wear a tag here. That same tag, we provide the same size to our residents, and it allows me to know their name, and I can address them properly. And they can address me. There's only one of me, but there's 10,000 Dorothys living in our community. So, sure. But all of this information they agree to. But if they chose not to, then we take them off the list. Their name isn't included. When the telephone directory comes out, that is blank, because they don't want their phone number available to outsiders, and we don't put it on the resident portal. But yeah, you have to look at those things and ask the questions. And not HIPAA agreements are not universal. We all have to have a HIPAA policy, Independent living, as a rule, does not require a HIPAA policy, although because our company does assisted living and skilled nursing, we have a HIPAA policy that we disclosed for independent, assisted, and skilled nursing. And they're all universal. But the HIPAA policy is something that you want to read, because in my case, we have an agreement, or I disclose it. If we, in our best judgment, if you're called to the hospital, if you evacuate to the hospital, and your family shows up and wants to know where you are, we will use our best judgment in letting family members know. Yeah. But if your HIPAA policy is, we're not going to tell anybody, then they're frustrated that where is mom? And we're not telling them because of our HIPAA policy.
I mean, that's that great solutions. You're thinking about what you're looking to accomplish and the best ways to accomplish that, and then walk into it. Sounds like you walked into a HIPAA policy that supported that, what you were trying to do, rather than starting with a policy that sat out there and then trying to map all of your business processes necessarily to that blind document. So I think you could, I've seen quite a few of those agreements when as a senior move manager, and I could see, I think you could see that sophistication, and you can feel it as well. I mean, in the community, I think when you walk in.
Well, you can feel it. A part of it is we are a faith-based community. Yeah. You're not required to be any faith to live here, but part of it is supporting one another in prayer. Yeah. If you don't have an agreement, a HIPAA agreement that allows your name to be used, we're praying for someone who's in the hospital. It's much easier. So on that list, again, we have them sign a second time that they want their prayer request known, but we do support our residents with prayer and prayer requests.
That's fantastic. So jumping into introducing the technology, once we get comfortable with that, we know what it is we're trying to do. Now we know how to protect against that, or how HIPAA or other things might come into play there. Now we're thinking in ahead of time. So you've got an opportunity. You're talking to family members before they've come to your front door, and getting where they're just getting organized. They're trying to clarify what the picture looks like, what their project looks like. They're looking to simplify how they communicate with each other. Before they hit your front door, what can families do best to start, from your perspective, to start engaging with technology or introducing technology into family members? What are you seeing that works well?
When they ask us, we say, you want to get a smart TV. And new smart TVs allow them to hook up Wi-Fi. I'm going to say 5 years ago, before the advent of Wi-Fi, enterprise-grade Wi-Fi on communities, your only TV programming was whatever channels you had, which in Arizona was primarily Cox, with 65 channels nobody watched. And we changed that back in 2005, where we went with our own satellite, and we have 77 channels for the resident. Virtually all of them are HD, so they're very clear. And I said, you will be happy that you bought a smart TV. Yeah. And the bigger the screen, the better the picture. So that you can walk in and you have 1080 digital screen, you're able to walk into that picture. And even a person who has poor vision, their experience is much better. So we'll tell them that the new TVs are better. And then as they're downsizing, or we call it right-sizing, as they're right-sizing their life, a screen that's mounted on the wall is much better than something that's 2 feet thick that's taking up space in the apartment. So they are benefiting that way. Our personal preference is all technology should be invisible. It should be natural. And so that's why we have used the Alexas for I have a lot of people who are vision impaired. They use their voice to adjust the thermostat. They just say, increase the temperature 2 degrees, or cool it down 2 degrees or 5 degrees, whatever they want. And we found that's beneficial. And my people that have Parkinson's, trying to handle a remote control and you have the tremors, whenever you can say, Alexa, change the channel, channel 86, or Alexa, when does Gunsmoke come on? And it gives you the choices. Then you say, Alexa, remind me at 2 o'clock, channel 35, Gunsmoke. All of that gives you dignity back. And all technology should be over the denominator of dignity. It should be done to where a resident, it feels good, and it's what they want to do. We have found that we start with independent living so that the muscle memory is there as they move into a higher level of care. Right. So our biggest emphasis is on getting people to use the technology when they first move in. And we start with the Alexa that's hooked up to their thermostat. You don't know how many times that's such a problem for seniors. Every thermostat's different. Now you just say the temperature. So
which
now
you want, which you want it to be.
You get it hooked. You get hooked on it there. Then they'll see their neighbor, Alexa, play me some Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra. It automatically plays that music. Then they want to upgrade and improve their technology to turn lights on and off, to change the channel. And we go into it slowly.
Well, those are great applications. So going into it slowly, right? That is one of the things that Jessica Fairbanks lays out is, in fact, that's her number one. Start slowly off of that. Her number five, which I mean, you just perfectly laid out, is you know talking about the small benefits, but those benefits from their perspective, as opposed to what we're looking for. We think about, I want to stay in touch, I want to do these things. So then you may or may not come into a conflict. But when you're talking about, you're going to be able to see this, you're going to be able in the middle of the night without getting out of bed, tell the thermostat what you want it to do to adjust the temperature. You're going to be able to, you know, those are things they're looking to do. They improve their lives and their independence off of it. That is great. Is there one of the points that Jessica makes is getting the whole family involved, that sometimes earlier up in the cycle, so before they're down into senior community, if they're being introduced to technology, sometimes they might have pushback of having a family member, an adult family member, teaching them. You get somewhat of a benefit of being a professional. You're somebody who's supposed to have answers to that, so maybe they listen easier. Jessica makes a recommendation of kids using grandkids, even letting somebody just watch them. And watch those, you let your grandparents watch the grandkids interacting with technology. So just to your point, they start thinking about what that is. They get comfortable with it and they can move past the fact that technology is cold in that mindset. What are things that have helped you be successful doing things like that?
Well, the grandkids are the easiest to teach the parents or the grandfathers and all. What we found was there has to be a reason. Whenever I say, hey, would you like to be able to do this? Let's say no. They're not interested in the abstract. But when I say, and this started out whenever we first went to computers, fella says to me, why should I spend, and this was back 20 years ago, why should I spend $600 for a computer that a 37-cent stamp will take care of? And I said, well, yeah, you got a point there, but look at this. Whenever he saw that he can get pictures of his grandkids in instant, then he saw the reason to use technology. You and I are talking on Zoom right now. We can see each other. Every time I have a Zoom meeting, and this may just be the ladies, but the ladies' cameras never work. But the ladies like seeing everyone else. They want to see the grandkids. They don't want to be seen. And I don't know just what that is. But I know that the video is important because I want to see my family. I may not think that my hair is just right. And there may be personal reasons why. But they certainly love communicating with their family. So you have to give, why do this? If it doesn't make sense, like in our case, the Alexas allow them to change the channel. If you have Parkinson's, you try to wrestle with a remote control.
That'd be horrible.
Black letters on a black remote control, 1 inch by 2 inches or 3 inches long. Whenever you just use your voice, you don't even know that you're doing a very complicated process.
Yeah.
Our library is set up. You walk into the little library, all the shelves light up. You're the clicker. Your body, whenever you're done looking and leave, the lights go back off. All of those things make it so natural. So anything that you're doing with family to teach them about, they've got to see the reason why. Whenever I'm instructing seniors on how to use their streaming, they didn't know they could get the TV from their alma mater or from their hometown. But that app makes it worth learning because they want to see their hometown.
Yep.
We have 3D devices that the first thing we do is say, all right, where are you from? And most people are from Shoot 'em Up Creek, Kansas, or someplace like that. So we can go to their town in Kansas, and they can walk 3D looking around and see that that's the old general store. That used to be where the dairy was. Now, look at that. They're able to walk in their own town.
Well, and it's a participation. It's that participation in community, and not just the community in which you're building there, but participation in the rest of the world.
Yes, you're part of the world. And that's why technology is interesting, because I can do something. Although I might not be able to walk 45 minutes like I could whenever I was in my 20s, now I can see the world, and we can take trips in real time, in real places, but especially things they know.
When I only see as the metaverse finally takes hold and they move into a Web 3.0 structure where people can not only retrieve information or publish information, but now they can own things in this other place. I don't see it as a place people will escape and be gone completely from. I think it will become a bridge. And one thing I think you're doing just really, really well. Really well, John Scott, is you're finding those things that are out there in the world, and then you're ensuring that they're intuitive to seniors and that they're working based off that. The design thinking, you extend that design thinking into what looks like a niche today, but you and I both know that it's an overwhelming wave of expectation coming from the aged behind us. And I think because of that, not just Fellowship Square Mesa, but Christian Care and senior living as a whole benefits from the work that you do. So congratulations. And man, it was awesome having you here. How can people learn more about you and about Fellowship Square Mesa?
We're on the web. You can just put in Fellowship Square Mesa and we'll usually show up on the Google. We have a website, fellowshipsquaremesa.org. And you can download and see all of the many awards we've had and all of the activities where we like that to be the Library of Congress about what we're doing. But fellowshipsquaremesa.org, and we're easy to get a hold of. We enjoy very high community participation. We have a lot of families and friends, a lot of referrals, as most of the people that move in, 89% are families and friends of existing residents.
That's great. I appreciate it. God bless you. God bless the work that you're doing. And thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for asking. Available time.
Well, that's it for the Senior Moves team this week. And thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed the content, remember to subscribe and to share this episode on the app that you're using right now. Your reviews and your comments, they really help us expand our reach as well as our perspective. So if you have time, also drop us a note. Let us know how we're doing. For tips and tools to clarify your parent project, simplify communication with your stakeholders, and verify the professionals that you choose, you can find us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and join us at seniormoves.org. Thanks again for trusting us. Until our next episode, behold and be held.
Thank you for listening to this Senior Moves podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, go to seniormoves.org. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Phoenician Partners, LLC and Senior Moves. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.